Be warned, the following promotion is classified. Spy Hard is a weekly podcast decoding spy cinema. From Bourne to Bond and everything else they can find in between, the two hosts will take a spy film and they have to decipher whether it makes the NOC list or not. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to follow them on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow them on Letterboxd, where her top secret NOC list can be found. Make sure you listen to them on all good podcast platforms after our show.
You know what? The power of love is a curious thing. Makes one man weep and another man sing.
Change a hawk to a little white dove. More than a feeling. That's the power of love.
Yes, I knew you'd get it.
Sure did, Paul. We've got to go back.
Great Scott. Hello and welcome back to the Paul and Griff Show. You got myself a Paul.
And you got myself, Griff.
And we are going back in time, or to the future, but we're further ahead in the future, so it's still sort of back, but it was the future. Yeah, that's right. As we cover Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3, and obviously the rest of the franchise and all the little bits we can find. If you're sitting there thinking, why have they not covered Back to the Future Part 1? That's because we did it last week, and that means you haven't listened to it. So you want to jump back and listen to that before you listen to the rest of this.
That told you.
Yeah, we're just, you know, we don't have to. I'm being nice about it. So we're going to be doing all of that. And we also have top six things they promised us in Back to the Future Part 2 that we never got.
Which we're furious about.
That's going to be a fun list. I'm excited about that. There's some cool things on the list. And I'm looking forward to doing this. But this week, before we start the show, we're going to start something a little bit different than usual. So let's start the show. Might do your bit. Might do ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, do it. Steal my thunder.
Steal your thunder. Do a big moment. This week I thought instead of the movie news, we might have a little quiz for you, which is what Back to the Future character are you? You up for this?
Yeah, it's Michael J. Fox, of course. But yeah, go for it.
So it's nine questions, straightforward. Just tell me what you say. We'll go through and we'll do it.
Go for it.
All right. Your belief in space and time travel could be described best as mildly skeptical, why not, scary but possible, or let's try it.
It's scary but possible.
Question number two. If you were a car, what type would you be? Luxury vehicle, sports car, pickup truck, or off-road vehicle?
Sports car. Brum, brum.
Your science teachers would say you're what kind of student? Engrossed, engaged, right answer machine. Right answer machine. Sort of. No, that's just one answer.
It's just one answer.
Yeah, I know, right? Sort of there sometimes, or unprepared?
Sort of there sometimes.
Have you gone from engaged to sort of there sometimes?
Because I didn't know it was all of those put together. Engaged is different to wrong, right answer machine.
Your friends, would you say you have an adventure of spirit of a couch potato, a pioneer, a roller coaster freak, or a bank robber?
Couch potato.
What's your favourite style trend blunder of the 1980s? Got five answers for this one.
Oh.
Mullet, leg warmers, Harlem pants, spandex bodysuits, you still wear them now, or vests?
The mullet.
I know you're going to pick that.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's like we talk to each other all the time. It's like you know me.
Sometimes. As a teenager, your style would best be described as hipster, jock, geek, or preppy?
Geek.
But you wanted to say jock, right?
I did.
Because you thought you were Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Hey, preppy.
Oh. What are your thoughts on aging? These are massive. Aging is not lost youth. It's a new stage of opportunity and strength. Aging can be fun if you lay back and enjoy it. How do you confront aging with the wonder and terror? The idea is to die as young, let's die young as late as possible. That's pretty good. The secret of staying young is to live honestly, eat thoroughly, and lie about your age.
Die as late as possible.
I knew it would be the last two because you can't remember the first three.
Yeah, I know. You lost me. That one sounded cool. That one sounded good.
I knew it was one of those. What's your deer in headlights expression? Frozen bug eyes, drops jaw, raised eyebrows, why me, or run?
Drop jaw, raised eyebrows. I better not get biff out of all this.
Got plutonium. Yep, supercharged. That stuff terrifies me. I do run hot and cold. What's plutonium?
That stuff terrorizes me. Terrifies me.
It's all right, I understood.
Hit it out.
Calculating the results. It's almost done.
Oh.
Get your results.
Gonna be back in time.
Oh, who do you think you were?
Going by the answers I gave. George McFly.
You're Marty McFly.
Oh, I did get Marty McFly. Yes.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
He's known for playing Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
I'm happy about that.
Oh, I know I kind of jumped in, obviously, the movie news, but I thought that was exciting.
It is. That's good. That's good. yeah, Marty McFly. I might frame that. Let's go before we dive into Back to the Future 2, 3, and all the merchandise and toys and everything else. As we always do, just do a little bit of This Week in History. So in 1999, American Beauty, directed by Sam Mendes and starring Kevin Spacey, Annette Bening and Flora Birch, premieres in Los Angeles. And then we've got in 2001, Band of Brothers, based on the book by Stephen E. Ambrose, created by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, premieres. They're at the time the most expensive miniseries ever made. In 1999, Fight Club, film based on a novel by Chuck Palahniuk, directed by David Fincher and starring Edward Norton and Brad Pitt, premieres at Venice Film Festival. One of my top five movies of all time. September 11, 2015, The Martian, based on a novel by Andy Weir, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Matt Damon, premieres at Toronto International Film Festival. And also Green Book, directed by Peter Farrell and starring Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, I hope I pronounced that right, premieres at the Toronto Film Festival. And that is This Week in Film History.
That leaves us with nothing else to do apart from the dissection of Back to the Future Part 2, 3 and everything else in the franchise. Griff, what have you got?
Yeah, these films were filmed back to back. I think it's about 11 months. So we got back to... So at the end of the film, we're like, the first one, where we go and we don't need roads and it flies off. Apparently it's supposed to be a standalone film, but it wasn't. So hey-ho. So unfortunately, the actress who played Jennifer... I think like her mum was like very, very ill. So she had to pull out Claudia Wells. So she was replaced with Elizabeth Shue to play Jennifer in the remaining two films. So that whole end sequence from Back to the Future Part 1 was refilmed for 2. The synopsis for 2 is after visiting 2015, Marty McFly must repeat his visit to 1955 to prevent disastrous changes to 1985 without interfering with his first trip. The tagline for the second movie. I can find them. My notes are everywhere. Oh, don't have a tagline.
Is it actually a tagline this time, or is it a whole massive, like, paragraph?
Oh, no. You like this one. Getting back was only the beginning.
There we go.
There you go. And then Back to the Future 3, which came out...
choose you.
Which came out a year later. Or did it come out, like, I don't know, 6 months later? So we'll go UK. UK, 24th of November, 1989 for part two, and 11th of July, 1990 for part three. In part three, Strands in 1955, Martin McFly learns about the death of Doc Brown in 1885 and must travel back in time to save him. With no fuel readily available for the DeLorean, the two must figure out how to escape the Old West before Emmett is murdered. And the tagline for the movie is, they say the best trip for last, but this time they may have gone too far. But yeah, Back to the Future 2 was like our first look at the future, which we didn't get.
Well, some of the bits we did.
Some of the bits we did. But let's just talk before we go into the stuff and the Crispin Glover like controversy. What's your thoughts on Back to the Future 2?
As a film, it had so many cool bits. I felt it got a little bit, was a little bit long in the middle, but it's still a great film. It's like, I loved all the future stuff. Things like hoverboards, just so fucking cool. Like ridiculously cool when you really think about it all.
Oh, definitely.
I'm trying to piece together the film. I mean, still now when I go to like conventions and that, I still want to buy the sports book.
The Sports Almanac.
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere at like conventions and stuff like that. And every time I pick it up and think, do I need this? And I think I do, but...
It's such a clever idea that they did it where, okay, what's the most thing we could take advantage of? We actually go into the future and come back again. And I know, like, now we joke, like, oh, like I'd find out the lottery numbers, come back. But obviously, back then in 1989, for them to think of, you know what, we got a sports book and came back, and it's just a real dark side of what you can do in the future. And just by that, messing up and making a whole alternative universe, which was so, like, ahead of its time. It's probably one of the first films to use like split camera photography, where obviously Michael J. Fox is playing like his whole family at the dinner table. It was just so cool, like that bit when he first goes there and he's got shoelaces that self tie, puts on a jacket, self dries, self fits, goes into the shop and an automatic drink pops up. Okay, we didn't get like many of these things. Some things we did, but some things we didn't. It's just exciting. Just it was a really fun play on like the future with hoverboards and obviously now the DeLorean's like flying. Did you know how many times do you reckon Michael J. Fox Marty drives the car in number two?
Once.
Never.
Oh.
Which I didn't know. I was blown away by that. He never drives once, unless you include like the cut, like when they show like previously on Back to the Future. You know, I know he doesn't say that. Stop shouting at me, whoever's listening to this. But you know what I mean. I should like give you little flashbacks. Apart from that bit, yeah, doesn't drive the car once. It's just a lot of fun. I love the alternative like universe, and then I love the fact that we then go back to like the beginning movie, and he's not only got to not try and change the world better, he's also not got to bump into himself who's gone back.
Yeah.
Which
it's
is
just it's so crazy, isn't it?
It's just magical. Apparently, according to Michael J. Fox, he found out there's going to be a sequel to Back to the Future when he watched the VHS version. and the words "to be continued" read at the end. So he immediately called his agent to make sure he was going to be in the sequel. No, give it to Eric Schultz. No, he hasn't.
It's Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. So I know he said Billy Zane was like first movie and the last movie. You spotted a very young actor in the second movie.
Yeah, I mean it's probably sort of more commonly known, but there was a very young, you know, the arcade machine.
Is it Wild Guns they're playing? Or Stone Guns?
Wild Guns, yeah. Where he sort of like, he grabs it and he shoots it, and the two kids kind of take the piss out of him.
Yeah.
Well, one of them's Elijah Wood.
Very young, before he went on to Hobbit fame and that football and Green Street. I'm forever blowing bubbles.
So, yeah, no, I thought it was interesting that he was sort of in this. I don't think Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson said any words to each other.
It's crazy. it just takes so much emphasis. Obviously, I do love the Jaws like 19 thing. I've got a T-shirt with Jaws 19. Like, he's like, the shark still looks fake. I love that.
But there were so many like relevant in jokes. So I'm guessing what Jaws 4 must have been at this point. Jaws of Revenge. There was at the time they probably just thought, and I think it was almost believable. You would have seen that and probably thought, well, it probably will get to Jaws 19 by 2015.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it was just so cool. And obviously Pepsi had a big play in it all.
Yeah.
They had people exercising while eating. They're on the tread things at the bar. I remember that.
It's virtual, like, so they wouldn't be like waitresses or anything like that. You had virtual like TVs kind of serving you.
But there's loads of stuff that they did get right, though.
There was.
So, obviously, they had the video calls.
Yep.
Which is now, I'm guessing, your Skype, your Zooms and, you know, FaceTimes, all that. That's that. And let's see.
Like, I suppose kind of like a fax machine with the whole, you know, when he gets fired, all the sheets of paper pops up. I don't know what year the fax machine came up, but there's like many fax machines.
Fax machines would probably be around. I think it's more, if they'd done like email, it would have been good. But they had like the tablets, basically like tablets, didn't they?
Did have the tablets. Got that right.
So that was impressive. They had even stupid things. They had like Cub wins like World Series.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that one?
No.
And it's basically an ongoing thing that, like, Cubs were just awful. So it's a running joke they'd never win the World Series. Like, Cub win World Series after, like, 100 years and something like that or something, because they're just known for being pretty rubbish. And they didn't win it in 2015, but they did win it in 2016, which is, like, crazy. That's, like, a massive thing. So they weren't far off with that, which would have been absolutely mental.
That's crazy.
But they're probably so motivated in 2015 to make it happen. Instead, it happened in 2016, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, it'd be crazy. That's 2015, and people put loads of money on it. Didn't happen, and then it was just because it was 2015, and then they go and win it the year after. That would like be a bit of a kick in the face. So Back to the Future 2 was marred by one main thing. So I've been watching interviews. So Crispin Glover didn't want to be part of the second movie. And so they made like a likeness on an actor to kind of make you think like he is in the movie as George McFly, but he isn't. So Crispin Glover sued Back to the Future. The suit was named John Doe 1 to 100 and was eventually settled out of court for $765,000. And when you look, obviously, it's two sides of the story. The way Crispin Glover like kind of sees it as so when he accepted the role for Back to the Future, he never read the screenplay. He was a very young actor, didn't read the screenplay until he actually came to filming it. He didn't like the fact at the end of the first movie when Dad's really happy, now he's really happy, he's got loads of money. He didn't like the fact that happiness equaled success. He didn't like the fact that he thought that when people watched the movie, that's the story that we all got, which I don't think we did. So when he kind of had talks to number two, he wanted like final say on the script to kind of, I want at least to have a bit of input into it. On the other side of the story, people say that he wants to be paid as much money as Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, which he's pretty passionate. He's really passionate, like people are lying and all that. He just wanted to kind of say in the script. And it's a very, he's a very passionate guy. I've seen it, I think the interviews I saw was with IGN and someone else. And it's very kind of, he's always known now as like, it's carried him. They said, like, would you do, I think he's made up now with Robert Zemeckis. If there was a reboot, would he do it again? But sometimes he's very proud to be part of Back to the Future. But he doesn't like the fact that his name's tarnished with rumours of, like, he wanted as much money as the main two staff. It was just fascinating. And now, because of that, the Screen Actors Guild, you can't have a likeness or anything in a movie without either paying the actor royalties for it or at least asking permission.
Which is fair.
So, yeah, he changed changed filming forever, really.
He did. He did. He changed it massively.
And I don't think he needed, like, the likeness. To think, like, the dad's only in it for, like, he's in that upside-down kind of thing for, I don't know, probably less than 2 minutes of screen time. And to think that, like, that's cost them $765,000. Just have it that he died. That's just how you write people out. Rather than have face-like stuff and he's in it. But yeah, I find that really kind of fascinating, really. And that kind of marred on the second movie. Yeah, second movie's a lot of fun. Move on for the third?
Yeah, I think so.
So the third, obviously the ending of the second movie, Doc kind of gets struck by lightning in the car and you don't know where he's gone. And obviously, eventually you find that he's in the Wild West. So Marty's got it to the Wild West now. Three's weird because whereas one and two, the tone seems very the same. I suppose it's mainly like the end part of two is basically the first movie. Three's a massive setting. We've got like out of an hour and a half, 58 running lead time, probably an hour and 40 minutes of that is in the Wild West. And I don't know, that's why, like, just feels like a new movie. It is a lot of fun. I don't think it's as fun as the first two movies.
Agreed.
That doesn't mean it's not...
I think the problem is, number one's a great movie by itself.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm guessing it's just because it's in the future is so much fun that people loved it. Like I said, there's... It sounds harsh, but there's still a lot of trash in the second one. Like I said, the middle bit with him sort of winning all the money and all this does drag out a bit. It's not sort of super entertaining the whole way through, in my opinion. So I just think three was just because, it just dragged a bit more because yeah. I suppose the story was them sort of getting back and all that. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you on the basis of number one's great as a standalone movie. I think number two, even though it does have that little bit like in the middle, like I think you're so kind of, wow, that's really clever. They've kind of gone forward, then back, and that's messed up with time travel. Whereas number three, you're in one place. There's not much time travel emphasis apart from we've got to get you back. And for an hour and 15 minutes, for an hour and 40, you're in the Wild West. And it just feels like a different tone to the other two movies.
That's it, because it's so in the future, you're looking for almost like sort of the Easter eggs and that, like the Jaws 19 and all that. So it's nothing really with the story because there's so many things going on around the story that grabs your attention. You end up like loving it, you know, like things like your hoverboards, your Jaws 19, loads of just future bits that you think, oh my God, they're so fucking cool. They kind of bypass everything else. When number three, that's because there is none of that.
No.
It's too hard to just go, oh, there's nothing really. I wanted more super cool stuff in the future. I thought that was quite funny. Like, what's this? So I think that's why number three struggled. Apart from the best view at number three is ZZ Top did one of the best fucking songs of all time for it.
ZZ Top.
and they're in it shortly, aren't they, briefly. But yeah, that Double Back or whatever, fucking outstanding song. Looking high or low, don't know where to black. Go. Gonna double back up, yeah. It's better than Men in Black.
Yeah, I love that. It was ZZ Top. Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of fun. I didn't know that. So people, Police Academy fans, Jones actually made the noise like when Michael J. Fox is like doing the dancing feet bit when he's shooting his feet. That was actually Michael Winslow machine gun voice, which I thought was pretty clever. It's the only time in the film trilogy where Marty and Doc exchange catchphrases. So Marty says, "Great Scots," and Doc Brown replies, "Yeah, this is heavy," while talking about the tombstone photo. Oh, one thing I did miss, and I forgot to tell you. So the original, for number two, the original draft of the script, it wasn't going to be Jaws 19. It was going to be Godzilla 2015. And I thought you'd love that.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Yes, almost coincidentally predicted the real-life Godzilla that came out in 2014.
See, again, yeah. That would have been crazy. If they'd gone with that, they would have been...
It is, yeah.
And they probably would have held it back for like a couple of months just for the...
Yeah,
hilarity of it all, but yeah, no.
So some obviously by the time we got the third one, some of the trademarks and all the films, Marty ends up being chased through the town with a member of the Tannen family and like the three goons in all three movies. Obviously, Biff or like Mad Dog get covered in manure. I hate manure. it's just, and obviously. I'm guessing they didn't want any more, so they smashed the time machine up and then introduced us to a train time machine, which isn't as cool, but it's still all right.
Yeah, it works. I mean, by then, I suppose the idea is, like, if they'd gone back in time with the DeLorean and that, it would have sort of stood out too much. So the idea of converting the train makes sense. There's an interesting thing. Biff did a Back to the Future Questions song. He did a couple of stand-up shows. A couple, I don't know how many he did. Could have been a whole new career. It was great at. But yeah, he got fed up getting asked the same questions over and over again. That he gave himself generic answers, and he actually wrote a song about the actual generic answers. So we'll share that on YouTube and others, I think.
That's pretty cool. So just to go through budgets, obviously we've said... Back to the Future had a $19 million budget, which made $389 million. So Back to the Future 2 and 3 actually got $40 million each as budgets. Back to the Future 2 made $331 million. Not as good as number one, but still quite a bit of money. I'm guessing people like dropped the love for it, or I don't know what came out at this time like. To kind of compete against it. So Back to the Future 3 only made $244 million. But going by probably, when did this come out in America? 25th of May, 1990. So May, 1990, movie releases. I'm guessing got some big stuff to go up against. Oh, not really. Oh, Pretty Woman. That could have been. Pretty Woman, walking down the street. Pretty Woman, The Witches. No, not a lot of competition. Oh, Hunt for Red October and Bird on the Wire. But yeah, I suppose you'd see that as a kind of
Bird plot, on the Wire, fire in the sky. No. Sorry.
But all in all, like the whole franchise has made $970 million. It's very loved, as you say, conventions and stuff like that. And as you say, we even had Back to the Future Day, which I thought was pretty cool. So obviously October 21st, 2015, Back to the Future Day, and got a couple of cool things that were what happened on that day. Even though I haven't seen this, which I'm really annoyed, should have. Universal Pictures created a trailer for Jaws 19. Seen the trailer?
No.
Apparently they created a trailer for Jaws 19. Pepsi did produce a limited run of the Pepsi Perfect soft drink. I don't know, it's just in America. I don't know if we got that over here. But actually sold out before October 21st. The Ford Motor Company allowed users configuring a Ford Focus on their website to add a flux capacitor as a $1.2 million option. It's ridiculous. Nintendo released the game Wild Gunman. which is cool. Which they play in number two. Elijah Wood. Nike revealed they had recreated the Nike Mag shoes that Michael J. Fox wears, completing the self-lacing power laces. Although laces operated more slowly than those seen in the film. But yeah, we never got a run of them. They were sold for auction in 2016. I think they made quite a bit of money for Michael J. Fox's foundation for Parkinson's disease research. And Telltale Tales released their license Back to the Future of the game in a 30th anniversary edition, which I played all those games, actually. They were quite fun. And, yeah, that was Back to the Future Day. Going on comic books, so I didn't know, even though he looks absolutely sick by the art, we had a Transformers Back to the Future crossover comic.
It's just got disaster written all over it, isn't it?
It does, but it looks like one of the Transformers got the flux capacitor on the chest. But, yeah, looks a bit of fun. The comics did have a limited run of Back to the Future, which didn't last that long. Also, there's a comic called Griff to the Future, which... Biff to the Future. I'm talking about myself here.
I was going to say, what did you have your own fucking comic book run?
Oh, mate.
Or you just advertise it?
There's a lot you don't know.
It's just advertising it.
Just advertising it.
New Griff to the Future, which is available now.
Just send me money to my PayPal and I'll get you and it's made. Books, each film in the trilogy also received a novelization that expands on the movies by adding scenes, characters and dialogue, often called from early draft scripts. Video games, as I said, obviously the Telltale games, which I played all of them. It's quite a fun story. There's also Lego Back to the Future, which is pretty good. And there's some other games over the years, Atari ST, ZX Spectrum, Commodore 64, Master System Genesis. I didn't play any of those. Pinball, there's two pinball adaptations of the film trilogy were released. The first pinball adaptation was a physical one produced by Data East, available in 1990, entitled Back to the Future, The Pinball. Over two decades later, Zen Studios developed and released
a new
digital pinball does in 2017. You noticed there was a musical?
Yeah, Back to the Future, the musical. I mean, I've watched some clips of it online and it's everything you can expect, really. It's basically the story of them singing a lot of the songs from the film. I wish I was aware of it because I'd probably go watch it. Can't lie. Yeah. It looks kind of a bit trash, but sort of beautiful in the same thing. So I would 100% go see that if that was still a thing.
Definitely. And you touched on, obviously, the ride, Universal Studios, which I've also been on. Which is
the ride
cool.
Universal Studios, that's great. That was basically, you went in there and there's like loads of cars all around you. But you had to focus on the screen. So you weren't supposed to notice the other 20 people there. And you sort of went up and sort of jolted around it all. And
you it's went crazy to actually look and see other people in their little...
And everyone's like, it is though, isn't it? But you didn't really know. You're so focused on the screen, you kind of got away with it. But if you ever wanted to know what that was like, you can literally go on YouTube and type in Back to Future Ride and people have recorded themselves on it. So you can sort of see it all. And there's all dinosaurs and crazy travel. But that was actually really cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a TV series, apparently.
It was a cartoon, wasn't there?
It was a cartoon. There was also TV series. I did
really?
Have it. I've lost it.
What, like a live-action TV series?
Oh, maybe you're right. Go on, you talk. I've lost it.
You're making stuff up. No, yeah, obviously the cartoon, which I think only lasted about one season or so like that, obviously Rick and Morty is closely sort of attached to Back to the Future.
Yeah, you're right. An animated television series. Sorry, it was animated. It lasted two seasons, each featuring 13 episodes, and ran on CBS from September 14, 1991 to December 26, 1992. Oh, this film has so many stuff to talk about. And as you said, Rick and Morty is massively influenced by just a couple of other things pointed out of the legacy of Back to the Future. So the 2011 novel Ready Player One, along with the film adaptation, you do have people driving around in the DeLorean time machine from the film.
Yes.
In the third season of Stranger Things, They pay homage to Back to the Future throughout, including multiple scenes where some of the characters go to a showing of the film. Obviously, most notable, like, legacy is the pop band McFly.
Well, yeah. They went to the year
3000. That's busted. That's busted. But yeah, they did Muck Busted.
Can I get away with that?
You can get away with that. You can style it out. McFly was more on It's All About You.
Oh, McFly, great.
So on the third floor. No, I don't. My first wedding dance was a McFly tune. I love a bit of McFly. I think they're coming back. But that's the mobile mention really about the legacy of the movies. Going to toys. Where'd you get those wonderful toys?
I think first and foremost, you've got to mention on NECA. Obviously, I mention them every week. And they're outstanding. They've done, obviously, Biff and loads of sort of Marty's and complete, like Back to the Future 2 gear, Back to the Future 1, obviously, Doc. They're all just completely on spec. They are.
I love that with Biff, you don't just get the sports almanac, you get the naughty girl magazine.
Yeah,
he's reading like with it, and that's how you go like extra detail. Neck really kind of is great. Obviously, you got Marty with a hoverboard, Doc with like a spanner, and the whole plans.
He gets the Pepsi as well. Marty comes with the Pepsi as well.
Oh, it comes with a perfect Pepsi.
Yeah,
which is cool. And obviously, you get him with like the guitar.
Yeah, skateboard. Yeah. All the kind of the key moments in the film, you generally get them all with this. And they've obviously got him in the people call it the Darth Vader suit. But yeah, that's it. You can buy that one as well. But they're unbelievable. I mean, I'm trying to think like at the time when it first came out, I don't think there was Back to the Future toys, were there?
Don't think so.
It didn't feel like a toy kind of like sort of film.
No. I think they definitely followed like that in the last like 20 years or so. Just how kind of...
I know obviously the DeLorean always had like, you know, toys left, right and centre, like remote control cars and everything. There's always been like DeLorean stuff. I know you can get like sort of hoverboard doormats and shirts. But yeah, no, apart from that, I can't really like think if it was obviously t-shirts. So.
It's a cool Funko Pops. And actually, you mentioned the him in the Darth Vader suit. That's pretty, I think that's pretty expensive. You've got that one. You've got obviously, I think you've got Marty in the time machine itself. You've got Doc with the clock tower.
Yeah,
Funko Pops have done some pretty cool ones. There's some pretty sick Blu-ray box sets. There's one with like a flux capacitor kind of head-on picture. There's one with a time machine kind of head-on. Xavi again. So they're doing these big sleeves seem to be a massive new thing coming about. They come like in like the size of like a 12-inch record, but obviously they've got discs inside.
That's clever.
That's pretty cool. I've seen a few people buying them. We even had board games. So we had Monopoly, Back to the Future. Well, of course. Got Hill Valley board game, which looks pretty cool. And you also had Neo Leaf, like hoverboard. So it's almost like Scalextric, but obviously Neo Leaf, but with the hoverboard going onto this big like kind of loop thing. There's loads of stuff. There's loads of cool. They've got their own board game. Obviously, we mentioned the video game by Telltale, which you can buy. And obviously, there's some pretty cool Lego. It's just
one of them, though, isn't it? It's a fantastic film, but I think T-shirts, obviously, is easy. But things like video games, it's quite hard to branch out in it without doing a brand new story, I guess. I don't know.
The Telltale Stories had a brand new story. They're split into five parts. And in all honesty,
I remember
you probably can complete each part in like an hour or so.
Because obviously things like Ghostbusters, if you wanted to, if they really wanted to, it's like never ending. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it could almost be like a a zombie mode on Call of Duty where you could basically be Ghostbusters each and you've got to keep getting ghosts to come in, or, you know, I mean, there's options. Back to the Future, kind of limited in the story, would always be trying to get back, kind of.
Almost definitely.
So it's always harder to do games and that thing for that.
Just trying to find the price of that. Yeah, it's £101 if you want Martin McFly in this in the Darth Vader costume.
Still cheaper than Jurassic Park.
Which, you know, we're doing a giveaway for a mystery pop vinyl. Just as a kind of like a spoiler, it won't be him in the Star Wars costume. We do apologize.
Is, I'll be making up a lot of fake Twitter accounts.
But there is so many cool ones that could be the mystery one. So it's kind of it was mystery at the time because we didn't want people to know it's Back to the Future, but it will be a Back to the Future themed pop vinyl, but that will be a mystery because there's so many cool ones. So who knows? You may not get it. And the good thing about a film like Back to the Future, you can have so many different ones for pop vinyl to have our money, which if I get more space in my living room, I will own them all.
Back in time.
But yeah, that's pretty much Back to the Future in a nutshell.
Oh, it's almost everything Back to the Future. Because obviously
Oh.
we've kept up on our end of the bargain by going through everything. But did they keep up on their end of the bargain? Because this week's top six is going to be the top six inventions that we didn't get.
Oh.
So, Griffy Griff,
Well, we
name some of these
had.
things on the list.
So we had the hoverboard.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've mentioned already. We had Jaws 19.
Yeah.
We had self-lacing shoes. We had thumbprint to open doors,
Yeah.
automatic dog walkers,
Yeah.
and Black and Decker hydrators that could cook food almost instantly. Instantaneously. McFly! I didn't say that all two episodes, and I feel like I should have said that.
It's good. We'll just copy that bit and just place it in loaded.
McFly! And then obviously, no one ever knows that. Obviously, what's his name? Red Hot Chili Peppers is Needles.
Yeah, Flea. Yeah.
Yeah, Flea.
You didn't
He's
even
in.
know. Didn't even know his name.
He's that. And the lead singer's in Point Break, not the one you hate.
That remake's trash. It's awful.
Yeah, I've gone for it. Get that in. Well, option
Yeah.
number six.
Automatic dog walker.
Oh.
Fantastic invention, just don't need it.
My number six is thumbprints to open doors. I do not like the idea of threatening. If you haven't seen Demolition Man, all it means is someone can cut your thumb off and use it. But that was my number six. I'm kind of glad it hasn't been a thing. But yeah, that was my
Hell,
number six.
you took that to a fucking dark place, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry.
My number six was thumbprint to open doors, just because I don't mind keys. And I'm thinking sometimes if it's like raining, it might not work properly, like your iPhone when you get out of the bath.
You mean number five, right?
Yeah.
And funnily enough, my number five is automatic dog walkers. If you don't
Yeah.
want to walk your dog, don't get one. And yeah, so yeah, my number five is automatic dog walkers.
Oh.
My number four, self-lacing shoes.
My number four.
Cool idea. Didn't do it, but like, just have Velcro. Just
That's
have
what I
Velcro.
thought. Yeah, it's cool, but it's just, again, it's like it's not needed. It's just it feels expensive as well. Didn't they actually make a couple of them?
Yeah, they
And they
did.
were
And I think
like
they
obscene
sold at
amounts.
auction. Yeah.
So they sort of were invented, but not on mass produced, so it doesn't count. My number three was Jaws 19.
Oh.
I just it would be rubbish, but I love Jaws, so. The idea that it's still going in 2015 just filled my heart with so much warmth because I love Jaws films, so I wouldn't be against it.
My number three was a hoverboard. Just kind of freaks me out. But like people are obviously skateboarding and all that, and is like people in the roads kind of dangerous enough. Hoverboards would just be to a new limit. And again, hoverboards sound really expensive. Like very expensive.
Oh, I love how practical you are with this list.
I take this serious. I take
You
this shit
have.
serious.
What's your number two?
My number two is Jaws 19.
Yep.
Mainly because you haven't had Jaws 5 yet. Jaws 19 would be silly. That would put it up like almost. I kind of want it. I kind of want them to make a really spoof film. I love the idea. I love the Mickey take. But my number two is Jaws 19. You?
My number two is the Black & Decker Hydrator. This would be amazing, like just to throw a pizza in there and it done sort of instantaneously like that. But then on the same level, you do run the risk of there'll be a lot of, you know, if you don't, you're not a fan of microwaves and everything they do, this would be a million times worse. So from a health standpoint, it wouldn't be great for you.
I suppose I'll jump in. That's my number one. I thought, how cool, like, especially space saving. So they come in a little tiny thing and the hydrate pizza is like a 12 inch. Just how many you can get in your freezer, like, or fridge. Just
that's true.
Amazing space saving. Yeah, I thought I'd love that. I'm surprised they haven't made that. That's.
Well, I don't think necessarily even that. I mean, you get ovens that like cook, but it'd be the idea of having really small pizzas that grew in like seconds. That's the struggle.
That's true.
My number one, of course, is the hoverboard. It's iconic. I wouldn't buy one because I don't think I'm cool enough for one, but they should be available for some reason. Ooh. Just because there's the standout. If you someone says names ain't from Back to the Future 2, 9 out of 10 people say hoverboard. The other person will say automatic dog walker. No one says that.
And I'll say thumbprint to open doors.
You'll say thumbprint to open. I want thumbprints.
Cut my thumb off.
Oh.
Cut my thumb in two pieces. Get in my door.
If you can think of any other inventions,
promises they never kept.
Yeah, throw them at us because we're happy to be wrong and think, oh my God, we should have mentioned that because there was a load. But if you want to do that, the best way to find us is on Twitter. And where can they find us on Twitter, Griff?
They can find us on Twitter at Paul N. Griff Show.
Perfect. And also, as we've said, there's loads going on Instagram, so you need to get involved with that. Where can they find us on Instagram?
At Paul and Griff Show. And obviously, go link to any of our bios. It will take you to everywhere you can find us. Interact with us. Tweet us. We love to talk film. We love to talk to you. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, thank you all. And we'll be back next week for more of the Paul and Griff Show.
Great Scots.
So, Griff, you know how we've just ended the show?
Yeah.
You do know the show's like not actually over because we haven't actually ranked these films like we've been promising to do for the last two episodes.
Oh, you're very right. You're very right.
So I think it's only fair that we go back.
Back
in time. And rank these films so we can move on in the future.
So we can move on with our lives. Oh, unfinished business.
Number three for me has to be Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, totally agree. Number three. I think it's got the least time travel in it, which I think probably is just number three. I think it's very daring for him just to be in the Wild West. Even though it could be seen as a lot of fun, and it is a lot of fun, but for me, it's definitely fits into the third slot.
Yeah, like you said, it could be a lot of fun, and it's not a lot of fun. And the reason it's not a lot of fun is because of my number two, which is Back to the Future 2, which is controversial. But I think Back to the Future 2 was so much fun that when 3 followed it, you could just tell it wasn't fun. So Back to the Future 2, it was good. It might have been a bit too jumpy for me all over the place, and that's probably why it's at number 2. I liked all the bits about, obviously, Jaws 19 and hoverboards and all the things that we spoke about in our top 6 list just gone and all the sort of funny sort of bits. I thought they were all great, but for me, I don't know. It dropped to number 2.
If you asked me before we rewatched these to review, number 2 probably would have been my number 1. But I think watching them as a standalone movie, I think just number 1 is a kind of just stands out as just a perfect movie, really. So number 2 with the miniature faults, and don't get me wrong, it's an amazing movie with the state of the art technology they use, especially with actually having segments of the first movie. But yeah, I agree, number 2. If you asked me like 4 months ago and we were down the pub and we were just talking, 2 would be my number 1. But as we've kind of took this seriously.
4 months ago, you should have been in lockdown. What are you doing down the pub 4 months ago?
Having a lock-in. yeah, but so I guess like our number one is number one.
Yeah.
Heavy.
And I think it's right. I think, like you said, it is, as a standalone, it is a great film. And I 100% agree with what you said. Like, basically, looking back on it, if you'd said rank these, I would have said number two would have been my number one, because you're like hoverboards, you know, flying cars, self-driving, it's crazy. But as you watch the films, like I said, there is a lot of, I consider slow bits sort of in the middle, when it sort of gets a bit sort of Biff story heavy. So number one, I think, is a solid all-round film throughout. And yeah, that's what's got to be number one for me.
Perfect. That's pretty much it, eh? Thank you for listening to the Paul and Biff show.
Oh,
someone tweeted that, so I had to like just shut that in. I don't know why we didn't think of that, but yeah, welcome to the Paul and Biff show.
Oh, let's just redo the whole thing. We gotta go back.
Back? No, we're going forward. We've got to go forward.
But we will. But we will be back next week for more Paul and Griff. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.